I have thought a lot in the last 24 hours.
Same.
About the television appearance of TJ Jefferson's on The Price is Right. And the number of mind-boggling mistakes that this man made.
No.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
It's truly just absolutely heart-wrenching. And in the same vein that we all lived and died on live TV of the Rich Eisen show watching his recorded performance, a month in the can, and people saying how they enjoyed us reveling in his excitement of his appearance.
Of course.
Right?
Great.
In the same vein as that, that is true. We genuinely do love each other here and root for each
other. And we were so pumped.
And if you had won the car,
nervous.
I think we would have pig-piled on you right here on the set.
Yeah.
Okay?
Like
we would have run all over. You would have left all three of us.
It would have been great.
Like Don Bowie would have been cutting the cameras of all of us.
Yeah.
Had you won a car. And that's true. That was all genuine.
Oh,
but in the same vein, we're all good friends who can say things to each other.
Yes.
Like the next couple of minutes.
Yes.
Oh, then let me get ready.
Because I could totally understand that it had to have been an out-of-body experience to be actually called up on the set of The Price is Right. You're seeing all the television carriers. Mm-hmm. Drew Carey's making you go, how much is a ping pong table?
Mm-hmm.
You nail that.
Yeah.
You get out of contestants' row. And then you see a game, I got to tell you, that Master Key game.
I'd never seen that game before.
You could watch 50 more shows, you might not see that game again.
Yeah, I'd watch 3 weeks straight. I'd never seen that game played.
But you are a veteran of Price is Right as much as I am.
Mm-hmm.
You watch a lot of Price is Right. You said you watched it with your late grandmother, right?
Apparently I didn't watch enough because I missed the Master Key.
You always take the middle key. And Master Key. You always take the middle key. There's five keys. You take the middle key.
The middle key wasn't the one that won, though.
The middle key wasn't the one that would have won something. You took the one key that won nothing.
There was
you
a
realize
one,
that,
there,
right?
I had a one in five chance. So if you noticed, I'm like, there's five keys.
Yeah.
I kind of turned my back. Okay, let me.
Why did you not look at what key you were grabbing?
Let me.
That's my first question for you.
Let me get to this point. When you said out of body experience,
yes.
You are 1,000,000,000% on. Like, I'm someone who's never been afraid of public speaking. I've done plays. I'm on TV every day. But when I tell you that when you walk out there, you do. You kind of leave your body. And when I went out there and I did the little Michael Jackson dance, and Mike and Chris can attest to this, I had anxiety for like a week over the fact that like when you come out, they want you to be hyped and jump up and down. I'm more of a chill like person. So I was like, what am I going to do if I get called? And I told these guys later, I was like, I literally in my mind, because I'm weird, I thought, what could I do that might get me on the open of the show?
Right? I was waiting for the Arsenio Hall.
So I thought about that. I said, so I ran out. I didn't know what I was doing. I did the Scott Hall. If you know wrestling, he kind of does the cool walk out.
Yeah.
And then I hit the Michael Jackson moonwalk. And at that point, 30 people in studio, they all started cracking up.
Of course,
now
because they got—that's what they want.
Yeah,
they from game shows, what they want is they want interesting contestants mm-hmm. who will be interesting to people at home, and they want to win. They want you to win.
Yes.
So that's why they always put a key that's going to win something for Master Key right in the middle.
All right, so
in the middle. So when you grabbed the key, mm-hmm. the one out of the five keys that would win nothing, because one key opens all three.
Yeah.
One other key opens up one specific of the three prizes. One key opens nothing. So when you grab the one key mm-hmm. that opened nothing and then miss the opportunity to get the second key, I guarantee you all of them with a headset on, they were like...
And I bet in those controls. Right,
okay, they were all like, because they want you to win.
Of
they
course.
Want you to win. We're all happy when you win.
I was
you
a good
saw
TV.
Us yesterday. We
wanted you to win.
We were like, it was great.
All right, so allow me to retort that. So, me being me, if you know me, the people at home don't really. If you know me, if I do something and you laugh, then it is on. So when I got up there. And the ping pong table came up. Now, I had just seen a ping pong table on an episode I watched the day before. So that's why I got so close.
Very good.
Right? I didn't expect to be up there excellent that quickly. Scouting. So the second my name got called and I won that and I ran up there and people were laughing, I didn't care about any prizes. I went into like stand-up mode. My only goal was to make everybody laugh. And then I remember a picnic basket and I made a Yogi Bear joke. The whole studio started cracking up. And then I listened to the crowd about the picnic basket. They gave me the wrong price. But when it came to the key, Rich, like I said, I didn't know how to play that game.
Again, that's my other thing I was thinking about is that you were entertaining enough to get on the stage and then get to a pricing game. At that point, all bets are off. You could be as boring as you get. Now you got to focus. Take the middle key.
I couldn't focus, man.
You didn't take the middle key. And then you spun the wheel, which was great. You got lucky, which is what you need. Mm-hmm. And you got to the final showcase showdown.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you took on somebody who had, I guess, must have won her pricing game because she got the opportunity to pass a showcase with two motorcycles and a trip to Florida that you probably would never thought you would ever want. But then you're our resident expert on motorcycles. He bids $45,000. Half a bar, right? Or half $100,000 on this thing.
I spoke to TJ and I said I thought those were going to be 15 each, like 15,000. Which would have put him at 30. He still would have been over because I'm thinking the trip to Florida, 5,000.
How many days of trip to Florida? Because I didn't hear.
I think it was like 5 days.
So I thought 1,000 a day.
So flights, accommodations.
Yeah. But here's the deal, right? As doing my research leading up to the show, I had priced out. I took this seriously.
I looked at prices.
Many cars. I looked up household appliances, refrigerators, microwaves. I looked up cutlery. I looked up everything. One thing I never thought to look up was a motorcycle. Right?
Yeah,
I
don't ride. Why would you?
I'd never seen a motorcycle on there.
You scouted. There was no Master Key. Literally, we could DVR the next month of shows, and you might not see Master Key again.
Yeah. And the thing about your middle key, when I went up there trying to be funny, and I kind of covered my eyes, I think I grabbed the middle one first.
You did. I thought initially grabbed the
middle key. And then my
thought was, and then he moved.
Okay, but then my thought was, that is too. It's like, no, you're not going to put it in the middle.
They want you to win something.
I know, but in my
thought process, to grab something in the middle.
My first, and I was like, no, that's too easy. And the other thing was, I didn't know that was the only time I was going to pick a key. I thought maybe
you got another basket coming. You had the basket with stuff in there.
So I really didn't know.
And you listen to the people. You didn't get your second key. You
but
were
like
too busy.
I said, man,
I was,
guys, you don't understand.
The entertainer.
I was
that's
out there
so
having
out character.
Fun,
I love
man.
That.
I had fun. And look, you know, 10 years ago, I was a little bit more down on my luck. And had I missed out on the opportunity of getting a car, and I would have been, it would definitely have crushed me. Because that's where I was that point in life. But this point in life, I can say, look, I've got a car. I got a few shekels in the bank. I'm doing all right. So I'm not as upset or down about
you
not winning.
You shouldn't be.
You know, I thought I went out there. I had fun. I entertained the studio people. And to me, that's
am I
that's
being
how
too
I
critical of his play right now, Chris? Because you're going into Chris Brockman turtle mode over there where you don't say anything.
Believe me, there was like one or two overall. The responses on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube were overwhelmingly positive.
They are.
And the thing is, but I'm not.
I'm just going through your gameplay.
Yeah, it's a great it's a great moment. We really wanted you to win.
Trust me, you didn't want me to win more than I wanted to win.
No, I understand. Well,
we're looking at the film.
Yeah, we're just kind of breaking it down. It's like, post day all 22. Yep. It's all good.
Yeah, but I'm going to say
all 22, and we noticed that you left some
place
out on the field. That's what we're saying.
It's a place of love.
But here's the deal. Again, motorcycle. Everyone I know four people that have Harley Davidsons, right? These Harley Davidsons are expensive bikes. So I'm like, there were two of them. Even if I would have thought, okay, these are $12,000 bikes, which I never would have thought they were under that, I still would have gone over. I never would have said 26. My minimum would have been probably 30.
Yeah.
So I never would have said 26 because I had no idea you could get a Harley for $8,000. Those are $8,000 bikes.
$8,000. I was looking at them. I'm like, oh, I had no clue. Crazy.
So yeah, you know, there was a point like 2 weeks ago I was driving, I was like, man, crap, I could have had about $20,000. But I'm not gonna allow that to get me down, man. Like I had a blast and I felt like a winner because unlike when there's 200 people in studio, you have to get vetted by at least 7 different casting producers, including CBS talent. So to get through all of that, I kind of felt like, look, we all won just by making it.
Well,
to
I hate
that
to tell
point.
You, TJ, you know, you've been on the air here with us as a regular for close to a year now.
Yeah.
there was the same rigorous process you were not aware of that got you into that chair. So
the Susie Schuster.
CBS for me. Yes, correct. So you got a ping pong table.
Uh huh. I haven't gotten yet.
You haven't got yet. Yeah. Did you walk out with the popcorn machine?
No, they'll all get sent to you. Probably. Okay. As a matter of fact, I brought my folder with all my rules and.
I'd love to see that. I love. And you also have that wonderful price tag with your name, your full name on it,
right there, my government name.
And you've got people here on the campus in El Segundo stopping you, asking if you were the guy on The Price Is Right yesterday.
Yesterday after work, there's a bathroom behind the studio, and there's like two urinals with a little divider. I go in there after the show, mask on. I walk up, and the guy's standing there, and he kind of looks at me, and he looks back, and he just goes, "Bro, were you just on The Price Is Right just now?" I almost peed on myself. I'm like, yeah. He goes, "Welcome. We watched it during lunch." And he goes, I was like, yo, I think that's the dude that works in the studio.
This game, TJ, you would have won.
Totally. But that's also over in 60 seconds. He got a long game.
Long game.
Got a lot of time.
It's too much thinking.
Yeah. You needed the putt.
All I'm saying is this. Some of my best friends that you guys talk about a lot, Kutcher and Valderrama, they both have done shows on CBS. Yes. And now I'm hoping that maybe CBS sees me. Maybe they want to put me in something.
There
I
you go.
Know.
Now we're talking.
3.5 men. That's the meme. Over. Like this segment. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. He's about to enter, or he's right in the middle of right now, I guess, his 12th season as being the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. He is Pete Carroll, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Coach?
I'm good, Rich. What's up, brother?
I'm better for talking to you. What does a mid-May 2021 look like for you? Just finished up with the rookie minicamp, right? That's basically where you are and everything?
Yeah. It's a little bit different. It's different than last year, and last year was different than the year before. So we just work our way through as things are, you know, have changed some. And but things are going well. We think we maxed out that which we could in the draft. We like our guys and excited about the young pups that we're working with. You know, we're deep into Zoom right now. We're in Zoom land, and our coaches and our players are exceedingly adept at it now, and we're getting a lot out of it again as we did last year. So it's a new day. It's a new day.
So what do you expect of seeing players physically in front of you? What is your level of expectation over the next several weeks on that front, Pete?
Well, we'll see more. We'll see more than we have now. We got 30-something guys here now working, and we'll see more guys as we move along. We'll work towards our mini camp coming up in the middle of June, and that'll be the culmination of it. So I'm hoping that we'll increase our numbers as we go, and I know our guys are working really hard. Everybody's really dedicated to that, and they're getting together where they can and when they can, and so there's a lot of good positive stuff happening.
What do you make of the conversation on that front in recent days, that last year, because of the pandemic and so much of off-season work was done by Zoom, and the regular season looked like any other season, that maybe the in-person work year-round is something that is not necessary, that it's too much, and that things should be kind of the way they are right now? What do you, as a head coach in the NFL now in a 12th year on that front, with just Seattle, say about that?
Well, I think it's a worthwhile discussion because it's on the top of everybody's mind, and in particularly the players, and they're trying to figure out what's best. What we know is when it's equal, it comes out fine. And last year, nobody had off season. We had no preseason games, and the season really measured up to be a comparable season to the ones in the past. This is happening a little different this time around, and it's not within the control of anybody to keep everybody on the same numbers and days and work load and all of that. So this is going to be a little bit different, and we need to see how that pans out. But when it's controlled and it's equal for all members, then it'll work out fine. And so I think our players learned that, and our coaches saw that last year too. You know, we didn't think it was the ideal, but yet as long as it's relative and the competitive landscape is the same, then it works out fine.
Pete Carroll here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's get into Russ and his conversation that he's been having publicly in a manner that we haven't really heard from him about his level of protection and needing that upgraded and his desire to still be with you and in Seattle. How would you rate your relationship with Russell Wilson as you and I are talking right here in the middle of May? Pete Carroll.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's really old news to talk about this because it's been such a long time. Rich, the little bit that he said carried so much airtime that it became bigger than life. Throughout the whole process, Russell, we've always been connected. We've always been talking. We've never not been in communication, and we weren't at all at this time either. And a couple things that came out got magnified, and the questions came out, and there was a couple things. You know, he was frustrated when he was talking, just like any of us can sometimes emphasize something that's, you know, on the top of our mind, and it can be played differently than it really played itself out. We've had a really good off season of working, and there was an ongoing media discussion that I did not take part in. John and I did not. We refused to be party to that. And Russ did what he could once he saw it happening to stay as quiet as he could, because it was going to play and have a life of its own anyway. So what it amounted to was, I think, a refocusing, you know, making sure that we were on the same page, making sure that we were clear so that we could withstand any of the scrutiny that would come towards us. And we did that. And so we've had a good off season, and we're cranking. He's fired up and about his team. He's fired up about his coaching staff. He's fired up about the season coming up. And he, just as he knows how to do, he's been competing his butt off to be right and ready and be on point. So it's gone very well, even though that discussion lasted so long, and you had certain guys that just decided to keep the story going, and they just wanted to keep feeding it. And it really was much bigger than it was for us internally, and I thought we handled it really well.
Well, the reason why I bring it up, I guess, with you now is you and I had not spoken since then, and that was such a conversation.
My bad.
Then.
Okay, my bad.
No, I'm just...
bad,
yeah. No, but I understand. It's just like, okay, I thought you did that, you know, that page had been turned. But the book is still open in terms of a national conversation with just quarterbacks who are...
It shouldn't be.
Well,
it shouldn't be. In terms of up here in Seattle, it shouldn't be. But I get it that guys are doing it, and I know Aaron's been real vocal, and whatever's going on there, it keeps this discussion alive. And And so, you know, it's fun for the media, and they do what they got to do with it, and it's okay.
Well, you do bring up where I guess I was going next with Aaron in Wisconsin and the concept of, you know, hey, a quarterback should have a say in who's on the roster and certainly about the way an offense is running. How much is Russell involved in all of that with you and the rest of the staff? Now there's a new offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron being brought in right now. How much is that, if you're willing to pull back the curtain on, that he is involved in that conversation, Pete Carroll?
Yeah, well, Rich, first let me say, in a real general sense, you either compete or you're not. And that means that if there's information that you can have and you have access to and it can help you make choices and decisions that you make, I've always been talking to players. There's been guys over the years, I've had them in my office or I've called them on the phone or now we do our texting. You know, there's something that comes up. They've got information. They've got special knowledge. I've never hesitated to do that. Russ, having been here for 10 years now, he's been around us a long time, and he's got a good perspective, as does Bobby Wagner. And we're fortunate to have Dwayne Brown. And guys, they have opinions that I don't have to act on the information, but I want to access the information. I'm okay with that, you know. So I've always been talking to guys. So how much does he have now? He doesn't have any more than he's ever had. I've respected the heck out of Russ for all of the reasons that he has proven he's worthy. And so when I get a chance to get something from him that can help me out, I'm going to him. I don't hesitate to do that. And I'll do it with any of our guys. Doug Baldwin was a guy. Richard Sherman was guys. I would talk to those guys about scheme, personnel, situations, times, social issues. I mean, you name it, you know, and that's the kind of program that we have run around here. So I don't think it should be overplayed, and I don't think it should be misstated either. Russ has a lot of good information, and so I go to him when I think it's appropriate, and he'll bring ideas at times to me just to try them out. We have that kind of relationship where it's okay to do that, but I'm not closing it off to anybody, and I can't tell you how much I talked to Bobby Wagner because he's been around here 10 years too, you know, and those guys have something to – they have great insights, and so that's just competing to me, you know. It's no different, so.
Pete Carroll here on the Rich Eisen Show. Shane Waldron comes from here in Los Angeles from the Rams. Is that the similar offense? Are we going to see something similar where you'll see a bunch of similar – sets, but you have no earthly idea what play is going to be run from it? Is that what's being brought to let Russ cook, if you will, to Seattle right now?
Well,
Pete?
Well, we've been through, I don't know about the cook part of it, okay? That's somebody else's deal. That's not mine. But we, you know, we've run a lot of offense here over the years, and we've done a lot of stuff, and we've been a productive team for a lot of years, and Russell has been a highly productive quarterback and efficient, explosive. He's been able to run with the ball. He had almost 500 yards again last year, you know, and there's a lot of stuff here that we have, and that's Shane's challenge, is to put all that together with this marvelous background that the guys have coming out of their history and their system. You know, I go all the way back, Richie, you look all the way back to, this goes back to Mike Shanahan and Alex Gibbs, you know, where this offensive concept started. When I was at SC in year two, I had Alex Gibbs come in and help me install our run game and the play passes off of that. I mean, that's 20-something years ago, which was all because of the respect that I had for Mike Shanahan and the background of what they had put together coming out of the Bill Walsh West Coast system. And I think really the kind of the godfather of this thing is Bill Walsh, but yet the relationships that have been powerful with Mike Shanahan. And so what I'm saying is they have influenced Kyle, they've influenced Sean down in L.A., so many guys all over the league now, with a real discipline about their style of coaching, and that applies to a lot of different schemes. So that's what we're really excited about Shane bringing in is the mentality of how to make things really sharp and really precise and really clean and varied as well, and then adapt it to our people and our QB and all of that. And we're having a blast. I mean, I'm having so much fun because I feel like I'm more connected to the heart of where it all comes from, and Shane doesn't even know. I mean, he's such a young guy. I mean, he knows who Mike Shanahan is, but he has never really, you know, have the direct influence as much as a lot of guys. But it's really exciting for me, and I love tapping into it because I've been a student of it for a long time.
You certainly have, Pete Carroll, and you know, age is just a number. You know where I'm going with this too. You're hitting the big 7-0
What are you thinking of retiring? Are you thinking of winding it up?
No, because it blows me away. I remember when you were the head coach of the Jets and the Patriots, and people were wondering if you were the right coach because you're playing basketball with the guys. You know what I mean? Like, and clearly, you know, I mean, you remember all that stuff, I'm sure. And you've been at this for quite a long time. So I guess my question for you is how much longer do you want to do it? You sound like you're having a blast, but how much, like it's still a very demanding job. So how long do you want to keep doing this,
PK? What are you saying, Rich? It's no more demanding today than it was, you know, the last 10 years of it. So, I find the job really fun, like you said, and I enjoy the challenge of it, and I'm excited about it every day. I'm fired up about the young guys and the old guys and the coaches and the whole. There's nothing that the competition of it. There's nothing that I'm not fired up about. And so why would I set numbers on it? I've said this before that David Brooks wrote one time about he declared how to deal with this question of when are you going to wind up your career, mm-hmm. with taking a 5-year approach to it. And you look at 5 years, and in 5 years, we'll ask that question and figure it out. Well, I got 5 more years every year, you know, so, you know,
sure.
I'm not even concerned about it at all. I'm just having fun doing it, and I want to do it really well and want to win as much as we possibly can. And so that consumes everything that we have. And I don't feel like there's a gauge on the tank right now, you know, like how much I got left in there. So I'm just pretty pumped up about it, staying in good shape and working hard, and my family supporting it. And so we're having a blast.
No doubt.
We got to win, man.
No, you know, I know.
We got to win.
No, so I hear you. And
if we keep doing that, then.
And plus, you've got a tremendous, you know, roster of players. I mean, One of them being, and this will help keep you, you know, engaged as well, no doubt about it. Not as if you need that at all, but DK Metcalf running a 100 meter was something that caught so many people's attention, and he's so dynamic. He is so unique. He is so built. I mean, my God, it is something else. What next step do you think he can take? Because year zero to year one was something else. Last year was breathtaking. What do you think this can look like for DK in your new offense this year?
Well, I think the one of the descriptive words you said was dynamic. You know, that to me, I hear that word. There's nothing physical about that other than what influences the thought of, you know, what he represents as a total person. This is an extraordinary young man. He's a fascinating guy, and it's not, you know, everybody gets attracted to the physical stuff. Well, that just happens to be, but he's recognized, Rich, that he's got an opportunity to do something really special, and he's not going to miss it. And he's going to go as far as he's got to go, push as hard as he's got to push, spend as much clarity of thinking and mind time and mentality, mindfulness towards it, so that he can max it out to a point where, you know, I worry about. He puts too much on himself in that regard, because he's a marvelous player, and he's a really bright football player too, and competitor. As you just saw, look at how he was able to apply his skills and his background in such a limited background in track, mm-hmm. and look like that. You know, and, mm-hmm. and just be competitive and just in the race. You know, give him a couple more finishes under his belt, he might have been a little bit looser, a little bit smoother. He might have been right in the front of that thing. He wasn't far enough behind to do anything but to scare you, you know, that he could have. what's next? You know, I I just happened to be texting with him just a night ago, and he was talking about some people that he's talking with that are. You know, are starting to talk about some other things and some other choices. He's got a big enough mind and a big enough awareness that he's able to encompass a lot of stuff. And I'm gonna boost him up and pump him to wherever he wants to go and follow really his lead on, you know, where this career takes him. But it's going to be more than football. He's going to have a lot more to offer the world as he goes on. And I hope he can stay in good health and just keep enjoying the fruits of it and just follow it along. He's got it's going to be a terrific story to follow.
You've certainly piqued my interest. He had me at hello too at the combine, when he's crying, talking to his mom after he worked out, you know, with the decisions that he made to, you know, with his neck and the injuries and you know, I'm all about distance traveled and journeys. I mean, his is fascinating to me. And then, you know, He runs down Buda Baker, for crying out loud. I mean, my God, he really is somebody who I can't wait to see in the next year. And before I let you go, Pete Carroll, you mentioned Bobby Wagner a few times. I think he's going to have a gold jacket one day. Is it possible? I read, if you tell me it's true or not, I think you were quoted as saying, is it true, Richard Sherman, you've been chatting with him, it's possible to maybe get a Legion of Boomer back in the mix? Is that possible for you?
Well, if I respond in such a manner here, that would be the only thing that comes out of this interview right now that we had. But Richard and I have been in contact over the years, and we continue to be. And I know he's working hard and looking for an opportunity, and he's got a lot of things going in his world too that are really exciting as well. And you know, you never know. We're always competing and working at stuff, and Sherm knows that. And I really, at this point, I don't have that in our plans.
Okay.
But yet, it's never out of my mind. You know, and I love our guys for all of the time we spent together and all that we went through together. The ups, the downs, the challenges. It was just life. You know, that we've lived and we've shared a life in this world of football. And I'm really grateful for the relationships of those guys that have played in the past, and I love them. And I'll be there for them at any time that they need me, and as best I can, and because they've given me everything that they ever could too. You know, so it's a great relationship. I'm fond of all those guys, and you know, if ever there's a chance, I mean, look what happened with Marshawn a couple years back. I mean,
right.
That was freaking awesome. You know,
when
he came back and almost scored the winning touchdown, and you know, come on, he scored three times in the last couple games. You know, or whatever it was, four times. That was such a marvelous story. We were inches away from that being a storybook, and who knows? You know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, I haven't heard from Marshawn in a while, but you know, that could be just as much of a story as any of them. So,
no doubt.
I love our guys, and hope they're doing well, and we'll look after them forever.
Well, Pete, I appreciate the time. There's one last question I've never asked you. I wanted to ask you, so I'm going to do it. How many pieces of gum do you go through during a game? How many pieces of gum do you go through during a four-quarter
game?
That's
not the first time that question has been asked, but I never really count. Rich,
come on, give me an estimate. What do you got?
But since the masks came in, masks really took something away from it now, because that thing chomping up and down just don't get it, you know. And so,
sure.
But
yeah. Yes.
But
yeah.
It, I'm at least a four-packer. Okay, I'm at least a four-packer.
Now, what are you chewing though? What's your choice? What do you got? What do you do?
I'm a bubble yum. I've been a bubble yum guy for a long time, all the way back to my boy back at, you know, Dominguez back at SC. Man, we've been double yum in the whole time.
Okay, so, just bubble gum flavor, mint. What do you got for me, Pete? Just it doesn't matter. Just
just bubble gum. Just straight pink.
Straight
pink four packer.
Love it. Four.
It ain't nothing like when you get. It's not just one. It's when you can get. Two and three, you get to that fourth one in your chaw at a time.
Yeah, right.
Now you're really living now.
Pete, thank you so much
for
the time.
This,
No, there's no editing.
Feel
Come
free
on,
to
no.
Edit whatever you want out
no,
of it.
No, this is great. That's going to be the headline out of all of it, what we discussed, Pete. It'll be the bubblegum. Thanks for the time.
Hey, it's Susie. See ya.
You got it. You bet. All That's the one and only Pete Carroll, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
There are UFOs and aliens out there, as we saw in 60 Minutes last night. I watched that with Suze, and we're like, okay, lock the windows.
You think that's going to help?
I don't know, man.
Can't they just, like, walk through walls?
Yeah, like,
dude, it makes no sense.
Like Vision on the Avengers.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
I mean, are they like E.T.?
I understand it makes no sense.
If they're like E.T., you saw the way he walked. See, he's not doing a lot.
You know, because I saw it last night, and if anybody hasn't seen it, I mean, there was a pilot, an actual United States, Air Force pilot, saying that he flies reconnaissance missions off our great country's coast. Every day for the last 2 years, he's seen something he can't explain. Like, what the hell? You know? To me, that's like a version of The Shift. I can't explain that either. I don't understand it. It confuses me. So there's alien life out there. And you think there are actual aliens playing in sports today, Chris, correct?
I think it's possible when you look at some of these guys and what they're able to do with their bodies. They may not be from this earth.
Giannis
is not from this earth. Giannis is not from this earth. I look at Julio Jones. I don't think is really from this earth. Just saying. Michael Phelps for sure.
Michael Phelps is okay. You think that's just
not human.
You know, I was actually sitting here thinking this. If you had to explain to an alien, all right, what an NFL player is, a Major League Baseball player, a basketball player, and then an NHL player, you could choose NHL or soccer, and I know that pisses off NHL fans that I'm swapping that out. Ronaldo. You can only choose one. Who would it be? And I would choose
the phone. Are we going all time or are we going current?
I would go, I'm not putting any time limit on it.
Okay.
Because I'd go Jordan for basketball.
Okay.
Like, that's a basketball player. This is what he does. He plays defense, he can shoot, he makes something of himself.
I see where you go.
And and he can fly like you do in a tic-tac above, you know, only places that aren't inhabited.
In a tic-tac.
In a tic-tac.
That's what they said. There was like a little tic-tac over the ocean off of the coast of Virginia.
What color tic-tac?
The white. Said it was white tic-tac.
Oh, white tic-tac.
Even though my favorite are the orange ones.
The orange ones.
Please.
Yeah.
There's no arguing. I would tell an alien that in a heartbeat. The tic-tac should be orange.
Change the
more
color.
Delicious.
Take that orange.
And that my baseball player, would that... I don't know, because... I go back and forth between Mantle, because he can homer, he can steal, he can play, he can defend. You can go Mike Trout now, just if you want to be more contemporary.
The kid.
You go...
Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr. would be a good one. Or you go Ricky Henderson, because he could probably speak their language.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you're one of us.
Yeah, you're one of us.
You're one of us.
And like Ricky hit right but threw left. That was always kind of weird.
The snatch catch.
Yeah, the snatch catch.
But he could also play baseball, man. He can hit, he can steal, he can field, he can homer.
Best ever.
He can
man.
Cadillac.
Talked in the third person because his language wouldn't allow the
word. All right, it's Ricky.
The word
Ricky
I.
Ricky Henderson. Yeah, Ricky Henderson.
I mean, Jeter will give him gifts.
So you got Jordan. Oh, Jeter. Forgot about Jeter.
You have to, but
he's
Jeter.
Also a perfect human being.
I mean gifts. He'll give him gifts after he meets him. Okay. I'm here all week.
Jordan. And Jeter wouldn't be bad. They're kind of cut from the same cloth, aren't they?
I think you'd also...
Ricky's out. Ricky's out.
Ricky's out. Oh, wow. Jeter's... Oh,
no, you can't have Jeter in.
Yeah, why not?
Because he's...
Over Ricky?
He's just... Jeter... I'm not saying anything about Jeter as the player. Obviously, he's great. But, like, there's nothing, like, alien-like about Jeter. Like, Ricky, you just gave
but
some great...
But what's alien-like about Jordan? Because he can fly?
I believe I can fly.
You can definitely fly. Yeah. That's.
But by the way, if we're saying that, then we have to really look at guys like Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you're 7 feet tall, and yet you can run, you can jump, you are built like.
I think Magic would be up there too. Magic would be.
Yeah, I mean, Wilt was a track star.
Yeah.
Growing up in high school and college.
Tough.
Bill Russell.
Russell would be great too.
Wilt could also.
By the way, you don't even have to finish what you were about to say. And we all just know
this
and
is up. If this is about also keeping the human race alive,
we're good.
I was about to say, nothing that comes out of your mouth next is going to be as funny as what's going through our heads.
That's it.
All right, it's Wilt.
Right, be Wilt. Fruitful and multiply.
Right, so we got Wilt, right? It's Wilt. Ricky. Now, who's the...
I would say FloJo.
FloJo.
Jeez, that's a good one.
Well, are you going other? You're just going athlete.
Carl, I mean, Usain Bolt. Guy literally runs as fast as a spaceship.
Okay.
That's true.
So, Bolt. And then you've got... who else are you going to go with?
We got to go football, so...
This is Brady.
Brady, I mean, it's not even a question.
As an alien, though, you're not going to. Tom would fit right into the general population.
You got to go a quarterback, don't you? Or you got to go with somebody like.
You got to go with someone like Jonathan Ogden, who we've all stood next to, and like, you're the biggest dude I've ever seen.
Just one of those big freak tight ends, or like Miles Garrett.
You got to also talk about this is one of the all time greats. Ogden is an all time great, and he is large. But are we going to say you can't say that this person is an alien too? You got to show the alien that is just coming down right now and just checking out what's going on Earth. Mm-hmm. This is what this person does. If you want, like, what is basketball? That's a basketball player. That's Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, but you wouldn't look at Brady.
This is a baseball player. That's Ricky Henderson.
Now, Madden once said this during a game.
Which is?
About Brett Favre. You got aliens and they come down and they go, oh, boom, there's Brett Favre.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. Way back in the day.
So you want to go with Favre over Tom Brady? Really?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Madden.
How about
said
this? We're having an argument over what we would show an alien. Peacock must be so happy. All right, so let's do. We got Wilt, Ricky, Bolt, Brady.
Rich Peacock is happy because they have a little UFO unidentified type miniseries coming to Peacock.
Look at you! Look at you, TJ. Yeah. Well,
so they are probably happy with.
Okay.
Well done. All right.
So it's self-promotional.
Yeah.
Why did I say that so aggressively? I don't understand.
It was pretty aggressive.
All right.
Synergy.
We got to go Tom Brady. Please. Come on.
I mean, of course. He's still playing. He's going to play to his 50.
Right. So it's like an alien. So we're doing something that's similar. So we not only show, okay, here's what we're going to come up with. We show not only is this player excellent, but, you know, they can kind of equate to the alien because they're just so unlike anything else. Right,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're adapting. They live forever. I got to assume aliens live forever.
I don't know. Why would you think that?
Yoda.
Okay.
He lived a long time.
Yoda, by the way, like great point, Mike. Old. Great point.
See? Baby Yoda's a baby. He's got a long way to go.
Hockey. What do you got in hockey? Great.
Gretzky.
Well, Gretzky. He's the great one. He's got the greatest nickname in sports.
Yager. Mario.
Gordie
Howe played like six decades. Yeah. He was good, and he could.
You guys are also missing.
He could take you out.
He was in the no
Michael
helmet
Rizzieroni.
Era.
Send him.
Come on.
He's got the flag. Or Jim Craig.
Mike.
No.
Those guys
got to be a pro.
Please. Okay. You want to go Gordie Howe? Just a little.
I think we should go Gordie Howe. Old school. No helmet era.
Yeah.
Played, you know,
like Paul Newman slap shot.
Right.
Got it. All right. Gordie Howe.
Secretariat.
For a horse?
Yeah.
Okay. No Medina Spirit?
Well,
he's been disqualified by the alien.
A lot of foreign substances.
Okay, well, foreign. I mean, what's more of a foreign substance than an actual alien, Chris?
Exactly.
Come on, focus.
I mean.
All right, Secretariat. Right? And now we're doing soccer, right? What do you got to do?
Ooh.
Ronaldo?
Pele. Right?
Pele.
Send Ronaldo's bust. Just the bust. That was
just the weirdo bust.
Weird bust.
No. Pele. By the way, we say Pele, but if you want to sound like you know soccer, Pele.
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 We don't know soccer.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I
Pele.
Missed a soccer game yesterday. Right? I know a little. Yeah.
Right? You want to do Pele? All the soccer fans are probably like, you're idiots.
It's football.
Dopes. All right.
This is good.
So, hey, aliens, that's Wilt, the basketball player, Ricky, the baseball player, Bolt.
Definitely the same.
Right.
Bolt, yeah. I like the four and Griffith Joyner one, though.
Flo-Jo. Let's include Flo-Jo. Okay.
Gotta get a musician, Rich. I want to get into, like,
okay,
an actor, actress, and musician.
Well, I mean,
Tom Hanks is definitely, I'm putting Hanks.
Now you're really in a totally different ball of wax here.
Yeah, it's a totally different ball of wax.
Keep the actors. Right. You want to do music? You can do the music.
Lady Gaga. Send him. Send her.
So she's like the number one alien.
Yeah. Wait a second.
Are we talking all time or just now? Because it seems like we're talking like.
Oh, if we want to go off Sinatra. I mean, he'll show him a good time.
Michael Jackson. Have you heard of him?
Yeah. And Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson might have actually been an alien.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Michael Jackson and Lady Gaga.
We talked about that.
Okay, this is great, guys. I mean, this is terrific. Let's get 60 Minutes on the phone and open that open that piece back up.
Run it back.
Okay, there we go. Send the alien this photo of Lady Gaga, which is me getting the selfie with her that Del Tufo could not get.
Because I was working.
No, you were not.
Yes, I was.
No, you
whiffed. I was mixing
Mike,
a pregame
you could
show.
At least admit.
I couldn't get out on the
what
field.
What was I doing?
Come on, Mike.
What was
you
I
were,
doing?
You were
I was hosting
in a
pregame show.
At that point in time.
I know. And the NFL Network crew is like, where the hell is Rich going? Why is he walking to the middle of the field? And I said, everybody relax. I'm getting a selfie to show Mike Del Tufo up of Lady Gaga. I'll be back in a minute. And you know what they said? They said, okay. Because I know I'm not going to miss a segment. I'm a professional. I'm an alien. They should send me to explain who everybody is.
Who's the host?
Oh.
How am I not the host?
Of the Alien Olympics.
Oh. The Alien Olympics.
The Alien Olympics. Who's the host? I don't know. Jim Gray? He's a sideline reporter?
Bring Cosell back from the dead.
Cosell. Oh, God, jeez. Great segment, everybody.
Here we are at the Alien Olympics.
Hey, there are aliens, and now they're going to know. Wilt's playing basketball. Oh, Ricky, baseball. Flo-Jo and Bolt are running track. Brady, Gordie Howe, Secretariat, Pelé. Lady Gaga, Michael Jackson playing halftime.
Tennis.
That's pretty good.
Tennis.
That's pretty good.
Got to have tennis player in.
Serena.
Oh,
Serena. Yeah.
And the story there.
Well, just both. Send both the Williams sisters.
Serena and then, you know, for tennis, Federer. I've seen Federer up close. In the same way that these alien spaceships do not have any exhaust at all, like make it look like there's, you don't know how it's flying.
Around.
Federer doesn't sweat. I don't know how he operates.
Sweat.
I don't even know how he operates, takes flight.
I've never noticed Federer use a towel.
I covered 3 United States Open. I never saw him sweat once.
Golf, Rich. Gotta add a golfer.
Well, now it's DeChambeau.
No, because if they see him swing, they're going to be scared.
There's only one answer to this question.
It's Tiger Woods.
It's Tiger.
Tiger
gonna be
Woods,
scared.
Y'all.
They're going to go, what's that guy doing? They're
Tiger
gonna like
Woods,
be,
y'all.
Like Vijay Singh.
Are we missing any sports at all?
Hold on. Yeah, I know, because someone's going to get mad at us. Oh, we got to think real.
I'm sure we're missing something.
NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Senior.
Right?
That guy is Mr. Nat. He should be... If NASCAR had a logo, that's the logo, the mustache.
Okay.
The hat and the mustache.
You know, we had, WNBA-wise, we had Lisa Leslie in
here. Oh, yeah, Lisa Leslie. Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk just about a specimen. 6'5", scored 100 points in a basketball game.
Yeah, okay.
Good one.
And then a boxer is Ali, correct?
I mean, that works
quiet.
For me.
Be quiet, everybody, be quiet. All right, very good, guys.
Great list.
Great list. So bring them here. Honestly, we got space.
They're here.
They are here. But I'm up. But they don't show up. Like, why don't they just like land somewhere in like Grant Park in Chicago one day?
I think they come here
people
at night when we're going to mess with our lights.
Why are they always just off the coast? You know, when there's
like in Wyoming or Texas somewhere. Yeah,
it's always fuzzy like Bigfoot.
First of all, they get the worst camera to shoot them. Number one, even the planes. Right. It's like, come on, get a better camera. Like, my iPhone would take a better photo than most
excellent
of you guys.
Complaint.
Yeah, I'm complaining. I want to see it close. Like, I want to see.
And people are wondering, what the hell are we going to talk about with no NBA games? Right? The NFL,
like,
we're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to do something.
Waiting for him to talk.
Waiting for him to talk.
Haven't even heard from him.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.